So if you got a Bible today, I want you to hold it up. Good. Do you know that there's dynamite in your hands? Keep it held up and repeat after me. And if you don't have a Bible, they're in every pew there, King James Version. Repeat this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Teach me good judgment, for I believe your commandments. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Amen. When I say walk at liberty, liberty is also an exchange word for freedom. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall... And I used to say, well, you know what? The scripture's stronger than that in the old King James Version. It says, make you free. Look it up. Make, M-A-K-E, make. It's a lot stronger word than just set. Set free means I've opened up the door and you can walk out. Make means he will make you free, even despite yourself, if you know the truth. And so today we're going to talk about this wonderful book. And I really got inspired a couple Wednesdays ago when Alex taught on this subject, how to study the Bible and the importance of studying it and all that. And I got fired up. And I thought, by golly, I'm going to preach on this very subject. And so we're going to start with John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. And some of these scriptures you're very familiar with. But from time to time, I revisit them because we have to keep reinforcing basic truths in our congregation. We don't want them to slip. And you're gonna think of Jesus in a little bit of a different way, maybe a big different way, and the Word of God in a different way, hopefully by the time I'm done with this. And I say different way, and I'm going to say even a more biblical way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And you're going to say, you mean this Bible is God? Yes. The words, the inspired Word of God from the Holy Ghost, coming from the heart of God, and I want you to remember this key thing here, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when God speaks, that's His heart. And so His Word comes from His very heart. Now think about yourself. The words you speak are you. So when you're careless about your words, you're representing you and what you are, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And when you hear the stuff come out your mouth, remember, that's what's in here. All right? So if you need to make some changes, I know the one that can do that. John chapter 1, verse 10, we go down to verse 10, says He was in the world, and the world was made. Now, we just got through reading that the Word was made, everything we see here was made by the Word. And then it says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Who is this He that John is talking about, church? Jesus. So now we're noticing that there's a reference to the Word making the world. Now there's a reference to Jesus making the world. Have you ever thought about Jesus creating the world? That's what the Bible says. Absolutely did. We go down to verse 14, and you can read the whole scripture in your private devotions, because it addresses some other things. But it says, and the Word, that's what God spoke out of His mouth and created the world, was also, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And of course, that's Jesus. So that Word manifested here on this earth in the form of His Son. It's the form of His Son because He overshadowed Mary by the Holy Ghost. She conceived, Jesus was born, and the natural man that Jesus had, the part that was man, is called God's Son, but what was in him was actually the Father. He said, the Father in me does the works. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So who, church, is the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us? Jesus. Who, church, was in the world in which he made, but the world didn't know who he was? Jesus. It kind of blows some theological circuits, and now you got to realize that Jesus actually was the one that created the world. Well, it was in the form of the Word, before the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we're going to read this. Go to Genesis chapter 1. How did this happen? And I'm going to read Genesis 1 and verses 3, 6, 9, 11, and 14 for a reason, because these are all the let scriptures where God was actually speaking and commanding things to come into existence. Now remember, it's the words that he released out of his mouth that created. It's the same word that came out of his mouth that overshadowed Mary and created the man Christ Jesus with God walking around inside of him. Same word, same Jesus. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And finally, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So God is creating the world through commands, and he's using the word let, allow, let it happen. Now, I believe the angels helped do his bidding in the creation, and that's a whole different theological path that I won't take us down today. But look, the spoken word of God created everything. And that same word became flesh and dwelt among us. So yes, indeed, Jesus created the world in the form of the Word. When before Jesus came, and a lot of people think he was just a young little fellow running around with his father, that's not the form of Jesus before he came and went back to heaven. Says in the beginning was the Word. He was in word form, in the heart. He came from the bosom, the heart of God, and God spoke. Then he took on a human body. Then he resurrected that human body, which is now in heaven. So when we get there, we're going to see him at the right hand of the Father. Now, I don't want to confuse you with the Trinity, but I'm just telling you that was the form of Jesus before he came to earth, and now he's taken on a form of, you'll see the nail prints in his hands, I believe, when you're in heaven, because he took on a human body. And that's a lot of theology, isn't it, Ryan? It's something that we could spend probably weeks teaching about. But know this, yes, Jesus came from the Word, which was it manifested in the form of his Son here on earth, and yes, he created the world. Jesus is the spoken word from the heart of God. And he mentioned many times he came in his Father's name. He came from the Father. He proceeded from the Father. Then he was going back to his Father. And he said, glorify me as I was before. And that's another thing. But what I want you to get is the Word of God and how powerful the Word is. And if the Word is actually Jesus and you're speaking that Word, who are you releasing on the scene? Jesus. That's why it's so important to speak the Word. So we see Jesus created the world. He's the Word of God. That's backed up, and I'm not going to go there. You can make a note of it. 1 John 5:7, Revelation 19, verses 11 through 13, and there's a number of other things too. One of the profound statements that Jesus said was in Matthew 24 was, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So everything here, all the Word and everything Jesus ever spoke that may not even be recorded here, right? Because it said many things Jesus did and the books couldn't contain it, the things he did. Anyway, whatever God says, it'll last forever. But this word will endure forever. But it also indicates that something else is going to happen, church. Heaven, as we know it, and I believe it's our solar system, and earth are going to pass away. It's all going to burn. If you go back to the book of Peter, he talked about that earth will be destroyed at the brightness of his coming with fire. And it's going to go. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Again, that's another subject for another time. I'll leave the complex stuff up to Alex because he does a lot of studying. How about that, Alex? Now, with all that said, we as a church should be people of the Word. Everything should be about the Word. We should never allow the world to change our thinking by the spirit of this age from the devil. It's all about the Word, and I hope you have known after me being here almost 20 years that I would like to say, and I'd like to be known as a person of the Word. Every time I hear a teaching or a revelation or a exhort or whatever, my mind's always worrying. I'm always attaching it to the Word somewhere. Because the Holy Ghost helps me do that. Right? 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. Here is a command from the Apostle Paul, from the Holy Ghost. Preach what? Preach the Word. Don't preach out of Grimm's fairy tales, right? Preach them. There's pastors that actually do that. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come, and folks, we are in that time now, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It is very perplexing to me when you can give a whole sermon right out of the Word of God and then talk about something very, very basic, such as Jesus said, if you're going to be great in His kingdom, you first should be a servant. And then have people go out of here and get on social media and downplay it and say it's not important. Really? But we see that as preachers. And if Jesus said it and you want to go about downplaying it, you're going to have to deal with Jesus. I'm moving on in His Word. The Word of God, who is Jesus, is our absolute best weapon against Satan and every fallen angel that's following the enemy, which we know as demons. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. What's a sword? A sword's a weapon. You ever hear somebody said, you shouldn't use the Bible as a weapon? Well, I'm having a little trouble here with theology. I thought it was the sword of the Spirit. Now, if you're using the Bible in the wrong way to beat up on people, I think that's what people talk about. But I'm telling you, it is a weapon against the enemy so that people can be set free. When you proclaim this truth, and they will know the truth, and it'll make them free. So that weapon, if you use it, if you quote the Word, gosh, I remember a woman at work, and she proclaimed to be a Christian in my younger days, and she used to get so mad when I would share Jesus with people, and people were getting saved, but she said, I hate to mock the sound of her, you shouldn't go around preaching, quoting the Bible to people. And of course, I wanted to say, what, you want me to quote Grimm's fairy tales? I don't know. What am I supposed to? I know that the Bible says the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. What else am I going to quote? And she would get angry, yet I never saw her win a soul to Christ. I just saw her get angry when other people were. You know, and you see that. But, you know, the Word is that powerful. It's a weapon. And I learned early on, even in the demonic realm, and there are demonic fallen angels. I remember this so clearly. And some of you have been in this church as long as I have. You're going to hear this story probably for the 20th time. But I'm going to give it because we have new people here. I remember the day I was up in Thorntown. And I was asked to oversee the young college and career guys. And I did that for a while. And we were all in the living room in my little house there on West Bow Street. And one of them was, they were sitting on the floor, and one was quoting the Bible to another one. It was a young Christian, and I was really wanting them to wind things down for the night because I had to get up and go to AT&T and go to work in the morning. But I didn't want to stop it because I knew that they were enjoying it and they were fellowshipping in the Word. There was one man in that group that had a problem, and I won't give his name. He lives close by, but he kept saying, Kevin, I have a problem. My spine keeps burning all the time, and it talks to me. So you guess I get there's something not right here. My spine's talking to me. Well, I knew he had a problem, but, you know, that's for the preacher to handle. I'm a young guy. I'm just you know, doing Bible study with the young guys there in the house, but I'm getting tired, and I thought, man, I wish they would wind this thing up. And he was there. He was sitting on the floor. And I decided I would lay down on the couch, and I said, I'm listening to you guys, and I'm laying down on my couch. And I could hear every word they were speaking. But yet, all of a sudden, I was in another room. And it was really weird. The thing that stood out to me about this room, maybe Emily, because you know prophetic stuff, the walls were all yellow. I don't know why the walls were all yellow, especially with what was going on in this room. Across, I'd say about as far away to me as Heather, there was an old man in this room, and he was up against the wall. And I thought, boy, that poor old man. I thought I was actually dreaming. I thought it was a dream. However, I could hear them still talking in the room. And I thought, boy, that poor old man. He looked very thin. He was wasting away, emaciated looking. And then he did a weird thing. He looked right at me, and he stuck his tongue out at me. Yeah. And he didn't just stick his tongue out at me. It went way out of his mouth, like a snake. And this tongue was rotten. It looked like a piece of rotten meat. And I began to realize that I was seeing something. I could still hear them talking. Am I dreaming? Is this a vision? What? You know, we were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. But all of a sudden, his eyes got coal black, and you could just see hell in his eyes. And so I just blurted out. I sat up on the couch, and they're still talking about Bible verses. And I just blurted out, ooh! And Dave, the young Christian, he says, what do you mean, ooh? Because he just got through quoting a Bible verse, and I'm going, ooh. I said, I just saw something weird. And, you know, I'm kind of in shock. And, you know, I'm a young man in my 20s, and I start describing this thing that I thought was a man at first. And then I realized it was like a demonic creature. And as I described it, this fellow with the burning spine that talked with him began to look at me. And his eyes changed in appearance. And I began to see that same thing in his eyes that I saw in that demon. And then he began to shake, and he began to convulse. And then his voice changed, and it got all shrill. And I then, suddenly realized, oh my gosh, God just showed me what was in that man. And now it's manifesting. And of course, some of the young men, they didn't ever see that before. And one of them did the spider crawl away from him. You know, he's on the floor. And he's going, what do we do? What do we do? Because now Charlie's in full manifestation. How many of you have ever seen a demon really manifest in a person? Just in the biblical way. Now, here I am. I'm no longer with the preacher. I'm no longer relying on somebody else. I'm supposed to be the leader. And he goes, what do we do? What do we do? And I'm thinking in my brain, yeah, what do we do? But I really knew because I'd seen people cast demons out. I wasn't totally a novice to it. One of the best persons I ever saw cast devils out was Bud Moody and Mike Goforth. He was very good with that. And you remember them too, don't you? But anyway, I said, I don't know, but I said, if the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, we better start. Let's quote the word back and forth right now because we need faith. I knew that we needed faith. So we started quoting scripture back and forth while Charlie's convulsing and doing all this weird stuff, and it drove that demon crazy. And what it was doing, and I didn't realize it, and I didn't really realize till now that I was led of the Lord. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, was disarming that demon. It was making that demon more and more weak and helpless. And that's why he kept trying to stop us and threatening us if we quoted another verse. You know, there is a deliverance team here at church. And remember this, It's not, you don't have to get in a hurry if you're dealing with demonic spirits. But man, the Word of God, if you get to an impasse, just start quoting that word out. Make that demon hear that word. It's just like sticking a hot poker on that thing. Well, we did that for a while, and the demon got desperate, and Charlie was thrown across the room on the living room, and his head went underneath his chest. I thought his neck was going to break. I don't know how it didn't break. That demon was suddenly, in a desperate moment, was trying to kill him because it knew it was about ready to be dealt with. And of course, me, I'm all nervous because I'm seeing all this horrific manifestation. And these guys are all looking at me like, and in the most girly voice you ever heard, in desperate voice, I went, "Come out in the name of Jesus." It came out. Everybody says speak with authority. There was no authority in my, I just knew I needed to rely. What happened was I relied on the name of Jesus, who is the Word. And it was that name, that powerful name, above every name that is named in heaven and earth, that demon had to obey and came out of Charlie. And he went limp on my living room floor for almost an hour, half hour to an hour. And we're taking his pulse. Is he okay? Well, his neck's not swelled. It didn't break. You know, I'm looking at all this stuff. And after a long time of being out cold, he came to. And he was normal. His spine quit talking to him. Later on, he got married and had kids. He got instantly delivered. But I tell you, I remembered how the Word of God, before we spoke the name of Jesus, no matter how it sounded, the name of Jesus, that demon had to obey, really broke the resistance of the demon that was in him down. Jesus himself used the Word in defense against the temptations of the devil himself. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "What, church? It is written." And he drew the sword, which he was anyway. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So he used the word on the devil. "Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give to you and in their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" And then what did he say? "For it is written." He used the sword again on the devil himself. Now, I could go off on a great detour here. Do you know in Genesis, when we believe the words of the devil in the book of Genesis, we literally, you know, Jesus gave us dominion over the earth, the animals. We literally turned that dominion over to Satan when we did that. And when we did that, that meant Satan. And there's another passage that says Satan is the ruler of this present world. That's why Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So he really did have legal authority to deliver his promise and give him all the kingdoms of the world. Now, how silly, because Jesus knew he was going to end up with them anyway when he ruled and reigned on the earth for 1,000 years. But he was going to have to go to the cross first. And Satan was trying to get him to take a big shortcut and yield to Satan, and he would just do it quickly, and Jesus wouldn't have to suffer on the cross, and we would have no hope if Jesus had done that. So he said, "It is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you.'" Now here's Satan trying to wield the word of God. Isn't that? He tried 2 times. Now he's thinking, "I'll try it." There's a way you use the sword of the Spirit, and there's a way you use it improperly. And Satan was using it improperly, and he knew it, and Jesus knew it. He said, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Nice little slick trick, devil. Except Jesus knew what he was doing. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So again, it is written again. He corrected his misuse of the word with the word. And that's what we need to do as Christians, correct the misuse of the word with the word. It's the only way to do it. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him and until an opportune time. There are so many sermons in this sermon. You resist the devil enough and he will eventually flee from you. But do you know he was waiting now for another opportune time? He'll flee from you, but he'll wait for a time when you're weak or you're struggling, you're having a bad day, and he'll start hitting you from all sides. Anybody experienced that? My goodness. I had a morning before church this morning with several things that, you know, I knew what the devil was doing. I don't know how well I did against it. I did some praying during worship. But he does that. Hebrews 4:12. This, when I say this is dynamite and you should be using it, not letting it sit on the shelf and collect dust, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is alive. And I know Christians today that say all the days of miracles have passed and the gifts of the Spirit are gone, but we just need to trust in the Bible, yet they don't realize it's the very Bible that produces all those things. The Bible manifests all those things. They want the Bible just to stay a nice little book that does nothing but you read it and feed your head with it. But I say this is quick and living and produces. When you speak it out, things happen. It is alive. It is real. It's not just a book on the shelf that you just keep referring to but never walk in. And some of the things you don't know what to do with in the Bible, you just say, oh, that's historical, so we don't pay attention to that today. And then you make the Bible of none effect, especially the New Covenant, the New Testament. This is a living word. This is Jesus. When you bring the Word of God, what did Jesus do when he walked the earth, people? Healed the sick, cast out devils, fed the hungry, did all kinds of miracles. Do you think when you release Jesus out of your mouth in the form of the word that now it's not going to do anything? Do you think he's any different? John 14:12, if you believe in him, the same works he did you shall do, and even greater works, because he is what? Gone to the Father. This living word is real. And don't ever proclaim it and make it stay dead on your shelf. When I proclaim the word, things happen. Demons go. Now, it says, it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Expose yourself. You say, my heart's not so good. I got bad thoughts. I got junk in here. My Bible says to expose yourself to the word and allow him to cleanse your heart by his word. Because his word does, it'll cleanse your heart. He says in John 15:3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You want your soul cleaned? Expose yourself to his word. Believe it. Let it become a part of it. It'll chase the dirt. It'll get it right out of you. You guys, a lot of you also know this story, but there I was up at Old Walnut Grove in Thorntown, empty church, way out in the country before they went up on 52, before you started preaching there, Brother Ryan. But I was out in this church, and I was in charge of the library, so I went out there. And it was a Saturday, and nobody was at the church, and I went in, and I was organizing those little cassette tapes and all that. And then I saw the pulpit up at the front of the church, and I thought, I wonder how I'd do as a preacher. And I got up. I didn't have anything prepared, and I just opened my Bible to someplace in John, and the words in red, you know. Oh, that's a good place to start. And I just started reading it and expanding on here I was in an empty church all by myself, and I was just going hot and heavy and reading more of it and all this. And something weird happened to me. The more I preached, the more under conviction I got. I was preaching the word, and there was a bunch of stuff. When I say it cleans your heart, I thought, oh my gosh. And I kept preaching and preaching, and I started slowing down. And finally, I couldn't preach any longer. Now remember, it's an empty church. I had nothing to lose. The next thing I know, I close up the Bible, and then I went to the altar and prayed. Imagine that. I'm in there by myself preaching a sermon. I answered my own altar call. It wasn't because of me. It's because I exposed myself to the words of Jesus, and they were getting to me while I was preaching. And that happens to preachers. You're preaching, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost tells you some things too, right in the middle of your preaching. That's how the word works. It'll change you on the inside. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken to you. You need the very word of God to live and not die. Deuteronomy 8:3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You can have the best diet in the world. You can exercise, keep yourself healthy. But guess what's going to happen to you? You're still going to get old. Because it is appointed that a man wants to die. You're still going to die. And if you've died, just keeping your body healthy, it will do you no good, because you're going to still be in eternity. And if you don't have the word, you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're going to perish. So what good did all that good food and exercise do you? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I, and get this, church, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And guess what? When you quote the words of Jesus, if they are spirit and they are life, you are releasing the life of the Holy Ghost out into the atmosphere to do God's bidding. And that's why he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's powerful. God's word is sent out to create, to save, to defeat the enemy, and bring life. God has many more purposes that are eternal in sending out his word. I love this verse, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You have nothing to lose, church. Let the word of God come out of your mouth. Release it. Let God, and let the word go to work. Release it and let God serve his purpose with that word. What are some of the things the Lord would want to accomplish by his word being sent out? Well, let's look at Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And regardless of what some people say about the word of God, this is me speaking now, not Proverbs, because they want to just say study the Bible, but it don't do anything. Here's what my Bible says the word does. For they are life to those who find them. And what does the rest of that say? Does it say health to all your flesh? Are you trying to tell me that the word of God can actually heal your body? Isn't that what it's saying? Isn't that what it's saying? I've tried to learn when I get sick to just let scriptures play in my room. Let them go through the house. Release, that's the best medicine. It's the best medicine. Jesus gave the example of a spoken word. And don't tell me the Bible's just that to read and it doesn't produce in these last days. Because the word endures forever. It's not going to just now just be words that doesn't do anything. We just read where it can heal your body. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. He believed in Jesus so much, he knew when Jesus released the word out of his mouth, that servant would be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those followed. And this really pleased Jesus. Jesus is so pleased with great faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know that, right? Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. In other words, he's not even a Jewish fella, and look at what he understands. He gets it. He knows who I am. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and did what? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. No wonder when you speak scriptures at demons, they get paralyzed and they're easy to cast out even with a girly voice. Using the name of Jesus, of course. We underestimate this wonderful book we call the Bible, and we leave it sitting around, and we should be taking this medicine every day in our devotions. In your very hands is the spoken word of God sent to you to do his will, great and mighty things. Apart from the word of God, you cannot even be saved. For it says in James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to do what, church? Save your soul. This is why if you go out soul winning and you never give a scripture to anybody, you never give them the word, what are they going to believe on to be saved about? He said, preach the gospel. Paul said, preach the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mark 4:14, the sower sows what? The word. Jesus went on to say in Mark 4, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade and then the head, then after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or what? With what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is similar than all the seeds of the earth, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. He's saying to sow the word. Expose people to the word of God however you can. However you can. Having been born again, 1 Peter. And I didn't write the address down, but I know it's in 1 Peter. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as of the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord does what, church? It endures forever. So if you get that word planted in the hearts of men, they receive it and hold on to it. As that word endures forever, so will they. Yes. You get that? Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. And again, 1 Corinthians 1:20 through 21. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. He wants you to speak the same word out of your mouth from the same source that God did when he created the whole world. When you quote God's words, you are activating God himself. Now I'm on page 7. This is my last page. I want you to understand and get excited about this book, not only for what it can do for you, but most of all, what it can do to change the lives of those around you who are perishing and dying. It is the word of God that puts faith in your heart. Are you weak and have little faith? God has the remedy. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. I used to have an old beat-up sign out here. I've never gotten a new one back out there. You get so busy and you just can't get everything done. But I used to have a sign out here, and it was ugly looking, and people talked about it. But one thing I did is I put the word of God on that sign. And every car that passed up and down this road, and I'm telling you, you count the cars that go up and down this road. I think in a day's time, at least 1,000 passed by here. This is busy. And every one of them, and I put it up there at that four-way stop so they'd get it every direction. They'd get the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And some of these people going up down this road may not have opened a Bible in 20 years, and now they're getting it on the way to work. I stick it on bumper stickers. I pass out tracts. Maybe I'm nuts about the Word of God. I don't care, because I know when I sow the Word, like Jesus said, it is going to come up someday and produce fruit. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he goes on to say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And you'll never change the meaning of it, because he hasn't quit saving souls. The signs still follow them that believe. In 2026, in my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. He's not changed. And when you say that God doesn't do anything anymore, you are declaring he's dead, and he is not dead. This word is just as powerful. This gospel is just as powerful to produce all those things and more. I tell you that I sow the Word of God everywhere I go. I'm kind of obsessed about it, really. I get on a plane. I talk to people about Jesus. I stick tracts in the little magazines that everybody gets bored and reads, because the next person in that plane going to Detroit or somewhere is going to get the gospel. You know? Just been doing it my whole spiritual life. And, you know, and I know you're saying, what are you playing with your phone for? I'm really obsessed with the Word. You know, I have a phone that I've never disconnected in Evansville. Never have. It's hooked up to a cross box because I get free phone service. And anybody who calls me, I don't know if you can hear it ringing. Can you hear it? Anybody who calls me, turn up my sound, they get this. Telemarketers, whoever, those annoying people.
Thank you for calling 812-422-8888. You have not called this number by accident. What I have to say is the most important message you will ever hear in your life. First, I want to declare to you, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is why we all die. All our wrongdoing has separated us from God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Word of God declares that we still have hope because of what Jesus Christ did for us. But God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ was willing to take our place and take our judgment of death so that we still can have the hope of eternal life. And the good news continues, for Jesus Christ conquered death and came back to life on the third day and is in heaven waiting on you to call upon him. There was absolutely nothing you or I could do to obtain eternal life and get rid of this judgment of death hanging over our heads. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You simply are asked to receive this gift of God by asking for it. The Bible declares to you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus. Won't you take this moment and call on Jesus and ask him to save you for all eternity? If you need to speak to someone further about this message, please leave your name and your telephone number, and I will get back to you when I get your message. Thank you, and may his provision of salvation be yours forever.
But I don't know how to share the gospel, people say. That goes out 24 hours a day. On my phone, 812-422-8888. Real catchy number, because I worked at the phone company. I could get numbers like that. Since 1993. 33 years that gospel's been going out to all these annoying callers and people who call by accident. And they leave messages. They ask for prayer. That's just one way. You know, Jesus is coming back. Some person late at night, despondent, 2 a.m. Got that message one time. The preaching of the gospel is powerful. And there's so many ways to do it. And I just want to obey Jesus. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Just do it. Just do it. Now that is the evangelistic streak, you know, that I got. But I would say to you today, sow the word of God any way you can. Expose those around you to the word of God and watch Jesus do wonderful and mighty works. I'll leave you with one more testimony that I've given before. When Adam and I were out in Evansville at their fall festival, and it's one of the biggest in the nation every October, and we'd go out there and we'd pass out, you know, these comic books we have over here in the rack. They all give the plan of salvation. We'd hand them out to people. And most people would take them and thank you, and if they wanted to stop and talk, we'd share the gospel and sometimes pray with them. But Adam, he'd get so mad because he'd watch people walk off and they'd act, oh, thank you. And then he'd watch them throw them on the ground. And he'd get really in the flesh bad. And I said, Adam, you know what? We're going to have to trust what Isaiah said, that his word will not come back void, but it'll accomplish what it's sent out to do, even if somebody throws it on the ground. And there we were the next year and the next year. And here comes this man, big, burly football player. He looked like Brother John that we know from Lafayette. And he said, are you the ones that are passing these out? Yeah, because you never know what you're going to expect. They had one guy pop me right in the head one time when I was out there doing that. Ain't nothing to me, you know. But he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I was here last year, and I found one of these on the ground. He said, I didn't know what it was. And I want you to know I was a Muslim. I believed in Islam. But I went home and I read that message. And God's word got a hold of me, and I got by my bed and I asked Jesus to save my soul. And he said, I'm a changed man. I'm in a Bible-believing church. I realize that Islam is a false message. And he says, I've got to shake your hands. And he was crying and hugging us. I said, Adam, if that person had not thrown that on the ground, he would have never found it. His word will not turn back void. Even if you have to stick it in a note in a bottle, that's another testimony. Someday I'm going to do a whole message on that note in the bottle that was found down Turkey Run. That's a whole other story, all right? I'm just saying, think about the word. It just produces and produces. And what can it do for you if you'll just quit leaving your Bible laying around? And if you're getting the word off the phone, well, then read it off the phone. It's just as powerful, however you do it. Quit ignoring and neglecting his precious word that will last forever. Allow the word of God. Wipe the dust off your Bible and allow the word of God to do miracles in your life. In you and to those around you, allow the word of God to bring conviction where needed that leads to repentance. Just like that day I was in the church preaching to myself and had to go to the altar just because I was reading the word of God. And most of all, to salvation to those that need Jesus. Amen. Speak the word of God out of your mouth and release the power of God. Everybody stand. You need prayer here this morning for anything. If there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus, you notice how slick I put that little answering machine message is so I could get the whole plan of salvation in this message. There was a method in my madness there. I wanted people to hear the plan of salvation, how to be saved. But if you need prayer for any reason, a loved one, yourself, you want to be more bold, and that boldness will only come by being baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. We can pray for that too. I'm going to let Daniel close out in song, and if you have a need and you want agreement, come on up here this morning. Otherwise, we'll close after he's done.